Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, every week for the past few months, I've been learning how to live well at this time on a Tuesday afternoon from people who have mastered it. And we've learned everything from salsa dancing, self-defense classes. We've sorted our finances out. We've even tried iced baths as well. If you've missed any of our chats, you can listen back. The podcasts are up. They're on the Go Loud app. Just simply subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. But today I want to learn why honey is good for me. And who better than beekeeper from the Galtee Honey Farm, Aoife McGillicuddy, is with us today on the show. Aoife, good afternoon.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
Good, good.
How did you get into beekeeping?
So I was brought up with beekeeping. So
in the family.
Yeah, it's in the family. Yeah, I'm a fourth generation beekeeper. And my father set up Galtee Honey Farm in 1970. And I've been around bees for as long as I can remember. You know, I got my first sting when I was only 2.5.
Right. And you still love them.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it must be the most unusual reaction from somebody who gets a bee sting to say, do you know what? I'm going to work with these guys for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you get used to them.
The really? Yeah. Why is it? Is getting a bee sting even now in a professional capacity, is it frequent?
During the summertime, I'm working at the bees every day. So I'm visiting. We have 170 colonies, you know, hives of native Irish black honeybees. So kind of when you're working on those numbers, you're bound to get a couple of stings.
The odds are against you.
Every day. Yeah. But I really don't mind them because actually bee stings are good for you. They're quite good for you.
I've never had one. I say this with both hands on the wood here at the desk fear. I've managed to get to this stage in my life without a bee sting.
But it's there, you know, a lot of people, not so much in Ireland now, but on the continent, they use them as a treatment for arthritis. Yeah, the bee stings. Yeah, but
how do they do that?
Yeah, so they just go to you know, a special, you know, there would be specialists that would apply this treatment, and they would get the bees to sting, you know, an area where they're suffering from arthritis. Right. Yeah, and you'd find a lot of beekeepers, they don't have arthritis. Like my father now, he's 91, and he's no arthritis whatsoever. He has one little bit on one finger, and if it's starting to act up, he'll just make sure that hand is exposed when he's out beekeeping, so that he could get an odd sting.
And is it like a cure, or is it medical?
Yeah. It's like people swear by it.
Right.
People swear by it.
But
of course, you know, I mean, you would want to go to a specialist to do that. You know, we don't.
Yeah,
do it,
I was going to say, don't take too much medical advice from us here now,
because,
but yeah.
Because like bee stings, some people can react, get anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, well, I should
say
now to any of our Lunchtime Live listeners, if you have arthritis, don't go out today.
Yeah,
hanging around the bees. Talk to your doctor beforehand.
Yeah.
But tell us though, it's mainly honey making, like that's your bread and butter.
Yeah, the honey production. So yeah, the bees produce the honey, and then we also make beeswax products from the wax that they produce, like beeswax candles and beeswax lip balms.
Okay.
And also beeswax food wraps.
So is that just how the business has evolved?
I took over, you know, it was like in my father's time when he had it, it was just simply the honey. And actually queen breeding. So we also breed native Irish black queen bees, and we, you know, for other beekeepers around Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, 'cause they're a threatened subspecies of honeybee, the native Irish black honeybee. So and they were once native to Europe north of the Alps, but they only exist now in large populations in Ireland, you know.
So you have some of the Galtee Honey Farm honeys in with you today. It's obviously over the years, I imagine, though, if it's expanded, you know, with between, you know, different flavouring, I suppose, that's in some of them as well. You have the limited edition raw heather honey.
Yeah.
Is that just what? To try and diversify?
To diversify. And and like all our honeys, there's nothing added to them except just, you know, they're all,
it's
just
literally
honey.
100% raw honey.
100% raw honey.
And how long does it take, you know, from the process, I suppose, of when you have the bees in the colonies to getting the honey in the jar?
It all depends on the weather. So,
really?
Yeah,
it's a very weather dependent.
It's so weather dependent. It's unbelievably weather dependent. So, you know, you can imagine like in our Irish summer. So summer is the main time that they would you know, produce honey. And that one now is...
this is the wildflower honey.
Wildflower. So that would be a mixture. Like, they collect that honey now from the things like the blackberry blossom, the white clover, horse chestnut, sycamore, hawthorn, you know, all those. And if you don't get the weather good at those times when they're in flower, the yield is down. An awful lot.
Yeah. So just the process of actually making it then?
Yeah. So what happens is that a honeybee will go out first, and she's called a scout, and she'll find a patch of flowers that's yielding nectar. She'll take a little taste of it into her stomach. She'll suck it up. She'll fly back to the hive, and she'll do a little dance. It's called a waggle dance. And she'll tell, you know, that's how she communicates to the other bees in the hive where this patch of flowers, and she'll all give them a taste of the nectar she's collected, and they'll all start, more and more will start going and bringing back that nectar, so they carry it home in their stomachs, and then they go back to the hive and they regurgitate it out and pass it on to another bee that then continuously regurgitates it in and out of their stomach. I know it sounds a bit disgusting now, but each time they do that, they're adding a really important enzyme into it, and that enzyme is one of the reasons that people find honey so healthy, because it actually is brilliant. It's partially digested food, because the bee has digested it partially and added this enzyme from their own body, and that, you know, so it kind of is very good for, you know, it aids digestion as well. And then they just put it into, you know, that typical hexagonal shape that you have. We call that a cell. So they will just drop it into a cell, deposit it in there, and then it will also evaporate a lot of moisture, because nectar is a huge amount of water in it. So they have to bring down all that water. It's like liquid, but then they have to bring it down to make it that, you know, kind of consistency of honey. And
that's that.
Yeah.
And into the jars, onto the shelves.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot more after that. But
in the process.
Yeah.
I tried the blossom honey as well. It's entirely different to the wildflower. Yeah. Why is that?
So, the ivy blossom honey, they collect it in autumn time from the ivy plant. You know, that's when it's in bloom. And it's really bitter, kind of bittersweet kind of a flavour. And it's so different because every flower has its own flavour. Yeah, it's amazing. Every flower has its own characteristic, you know, every plant, we say. So the ivy, there has been quite a bit of research carried out into it. And it has a lot of, it actually contains high levels of saponins, you know, which are good for the system. And
In the business that I'm in, you know, like it's from time to time during the year, I will definitely, you know, I will be hoarse, I lose my voice if I have a cold or chest infection or something like that. And the first thing I go to is Manuka honey.
Or
even any type of honey. But typically people will tell you any of the home remedies, you go for Manuka. And what's the difference in that then?
So Manuka is, you know, it's produced in New Zealand and in Australia as well. So we don't produce Manuka here in Ireland because it's from the Manuka plant. And it's a good honey, but there's a huge amount of marketing behind it. So, like, you know, when people use Manuka honey for the sore throat or, you know, cold or anything like that. Actually, any good quality honey is just as good as Manuka.
As good.
So even your local, if you're lucky enough to have a local beekeeper in your area, your
so
local
all I,
honey
all
is,
I need now for the rest of the season is the 100% raw honey. Hot water and lemon.
Irish. Yeah.
Simple as that.
But it's not always easy to get Irish honey. That's the thing, because of our weather. Again, you know, we don't produce. We don't meet the demand, you know.
You've moved on, I suppose, as well. It's not just, as we said, the honey that people eat and take and consume, but you have now, like, obviously the candles, the food covers. Is that a big part of the business now as well?
It is, yeah. I mean, the honey is still the main part, but these have, you know, these are growing and expanding the value-added products. Yeah, the beeswax. Like, I mean, I love using the beeswax food wraps myself, you know, as an alternative to cling
film. Explain how they work.
Yeah,
I'm opening them here.
To open it there. And so you use it as an alternative to cling film, and you can put it over a bowl or wrap, you know, some food in it. And you can
feel the stickiness of it now.
My
hands will stick to the desk. Yeah, but I suppose it works in a sustainable way of just
reusing
other products. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people do you know, take and consume honey, don't they? Like, it's they do. It a big business in Ireland?
It is, yeah. Irish people, you know, they do eat a lot of honey. Like, you know, and there's a huge amount of imported honey. So they like they kind of, if you know, you can't always get Irish honey because, you know, it's not there are very few large scale beekeepers in Ireland because it's a very difficult way to make a living. But we have a good few part time beekeepers in Ireland. And yeah, you know, there is a lot of the honeys you see will be kind of, you know, and the supermarkets are imported mostly.
Okay.
Yeah, they're imported.
But you enjoy it, Aoife. I can tell by your enthusiasm.
I love it. Yeah. I wouldn't be doing anything else at this
really?
Stage. Yeah. We moved home in 2011, and it took me about 2 years to persuade my husband that we should go home. And that was specifically to take over the honey farm because there's six children in my family. I was the only one interested in coming home. And if I hadn't, the whole thing would have went.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's lovely to meet you. Thanks a million for popping into us today. That's Aoife McGillicuddy. He's a beekeeper with the Galtee Honey Farm. If you've missed any of our chats about how we live well, as I said, you can listen back, go to the Go Loud app and you'll be able to get them there on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.